Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
The Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by me, Thomas Vyborg Thune, is the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Join me as I sit down bi-weekly to bring you, dear listener, into the dark land of serial murder and psychopathy. The show goes into graphic detail on the most infamous and lesser-known serial killers from around the world, with each episode covering one unique serial killer. So far, the show has covered serial killer superstars, such as BTK, Jeffrey Dahmer, and the Yorkshire Ripper, and lesser-known killers, such as Elias Abuelazam and Anatoly Onoprienko. Be advised, this show is not for children, as it takes you deep into the twisted world of ultimate evil. You can find me exclusively at podcastone.com or on the new Podcast One app. Also, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on Monday. Get on. Welcome to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus over there.
So good to be here.
I'm glad to be in your presence, Mark.
So good to be here. And, you know, coming off of, how long has it been since we did the Ice House? It would have been 10 days ago?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have to redo that.
You were marvelous up on stage.
Yeah, wasn't I?
You are tour de force. I always use Mark as an example of just the energy, the motor, and there's nothing better, nothing more infectious. And it's just, I don't know how you bequeath it to people, but I would tell people every chance they get, you study that Mark Garagus and you act as if, man. So, Mark, in your world, you have, X amount of cases going on all the time. You have offices. How many offices do you have now?
Four offices now. We have four. Rhode Island, New York, L.A., and Vegas.
Oh, Vegas.
Yeah.
And what's going on with the whole Vegas shooter thing?
It's an interesting situation. Off the radar. I mean, there's lawsuits.
We have the biggest mass shooting or murder in American history. I mean, I don't know how you count Tim McVeigh and 9/11 or whatever, but you have the biggest mass shooting ever. And you got the shooter, his house got burgled.
Right.
While the cops were around, like they put the yellow tape around and stuff,
right.
But still somebody saw fit to break in and steal some stuff. We don't know what.
Right.
You got this security guard, and I have no idea, with everyone with a cell phone and there's a security camera on every hallway and everyone recording everything, and we cannot get the timeline down. Like
and can you imagine if somebody had stolen chips off the blackjack table? They would have – I have court cases literally where the U.S. Attorney's Office has gone to Vegas, has gotten the surveillance footage – of my accused client playing blackjack and has every hand that he's bet on. They've got it down to that, to a science. They can correlate every hand that the person's bet on with them, the video on the table. They can then tell you what time he gets up from the table. He goes to the hallway. They can show you the hallway footage as well. I mean, they've got all of that. All of that stuff is
all
archived.
That, right. So you steal a mini bottle of Courvoisier from the mini bar, and they know it.
They know immediately.
And they got you. They got a timeline.
Yeah.
So the thing about the Vegas thing is, first you hear the story of the security guy got to the room before the shooting. And your intuition is like, why does he go to the room before the shooting? And they go, well, there was a service thing or something, or the smoke alarm or something. And you go, it doesn't make sense that he goes to the room before the shooting. Then there's the story of he went to the room after the shooting started and the guy shot up the door.
Right.
And he was wounded. He was shot. And you start thinking to yourself, what do you mean shot? Did he get a piece of wood in his shin or did he get a bullet in the chest? You know, and it's like, well, he got shot when the guy sprayed the door with bullets. But we still can't even figure out whether he was shot
right.
or not. Then he ends up on Ellen 4 or 5 days later for a super hard-hitting interview that basically went, Ellen said, you're a hero, and he said, thank you very much,
right.
and then he left.
And while he sat
next, while he sat next to his attorney, and he didn't leave with a limp either. So I don't know. He was injured,
he
was shot.
Or
he had a vacation scheduled for Mexico already or something.
Right. Prepaid vacation.
And he's gone. He can't be reached for comment. He went on Ellen. Then we find out that Ellen has a parent company owns Bally's or something, and she's got all her video games. She's got video poker there. Like she's got Ellen slot machines there, and then we figure out that this guy can't be reached for comment. Then the timeline starts changing again, which is he showed up after they started shooting. What is this thing where there's no information? There's no one's releasing anything. There's no timeline where there's no video.
But I don't understand. Have we gotten to the point where something? I mean, just think how crazy that was. Wasn't it 500 people were injured?
Yeah,
not including the dead. 500, and it's completely evaporated. I mean, other than
because
the lawsuit.
We have no information, even though. Look, Gary, you're coherent.
Kaylin, allegedly.
You're semi-coherent. Do we even know if the security guard got there before the shooting or after the shooting?
Without looking and checking, all I can say for sure is I know that there was a discrepancy in what was initially stated by the hotel versus what came out a few days later in terms of when the interaction started. Initially, it was alleged that the interaction with the security guard was wildly different than what it was. If memory serves, he shot the security guard 7 to 8 minutes before he started firing on the strip, which is even more confusing to me because, as Mark said, there are cameras everywhere. So if you have an employee shot and down, how are you not already searching for this gentleman in the 6 to 7, 8 minutes, whatever it was, before he starts firing on the public at large?
I suspect there's a couple things I suspect. Whenever you hear hero, this guy was a hero, it always turns out sadly to be the Pat Tillman story. You know, it's like he's shot by his own guys. You know, like he was a hero, but he was still shot by his own guys. Like these stories of like he comes on Ellen announces he's a hero and thanks him for his service, and we never heard from him again. I don't suspect when this thing completely comes out, I don't think you're going to hear, I heard shooting, I yelled no time for backup, I did a shoulder roll, I banged on the door, this guy blasted, you know, a bunch of bullets through it, I stood up and returned fire, I yelled not on my watch. Like, I don't think you're going to hear any of that. And then there's some story about this guy possibly being an illegal alien or not having his paperwork. And I don't think.
You think? I don't.
Here's what I think.
Tell me,
if this guy looked like Ron Howard when he was 25 and he truly was a hero, he'd be with Captain Sully making the rounds.
Yeah.
He's not making the rounds.
So what does
that came on to Ellen for a quick. An interview that involved no questions. Like, she wasn't asking him about, so you're standing in the hall. When did you hear the firing? Or why did you go to the door if you didn't hear the firing? All the questions you would immediately ask.
Right.
Just, what would prompt you to knock on the door if this was pre-firing the gun? Or if you did hear the gun firing, why would you go over and knock on the door? What did you do? Nobody knows. Gary, you can look into this, but it's been 2 months. What's going on? Where are the press conferences?
I just don't understand how we wiped it from the collective hard drive. I just don't get it. I mean, there's you remember the missing airliner? That was wall to wall. What was it? The
Korean Air, Chinese,
whatever missing airliner. That was wall to wall. People wanted to know about that. You couldn't get.
Malaysian Airlines 370.
Yeah, and this story just evaporates.
I guess the New World Order is, and somebody should have told this. And I think you have, and you would too. When you do, the New World Order is this. If you're listening, Kathy Griffin, radio silence, and people move on,
right?
Because Harvey Weinstein's right around the corner, and
exactly.
So is,
and Harvey
so
Weinstein's
Kevin
sending,
Spacey,
he's sending thank yous to Kevin Spacey and Charlie Rose.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there's just everything's right around the corner. So if you can just keep it zip for a few weeks, we just.
Boom, we go.
We move on because it's a vacuum, yes.
It appears that what I initially posited is correct, that initially the report from the Sheriff's County, or the Sheriff's Department rather, was that he shot Campos. Jesus Campos is the name of the gentleman in question. The initial report was that he shot him after he began shooting at the crowd, and then they revised it and said no, he shot Campos minutes before he started firing on the Strip.
Right.
Campos has got some recuperative abilities because
he didn't get shot. He got hit with a shard of something on a ricochet or whatever, number one. And number two, what was he then doing at the door? What was he responding to?
Yeah, see, that's never really been reported that I've read. I'll dig
why
a little deeper.
Why is that not at the top of every article?
He must not have been doing his job. He must have been up to something.
I'm wondering what he was doing.
Really,
I don't think he was doing something that would make the hotel proud of their security. And because there's going to be a kajillion-dollar lawsuit.
I'm also reading that there is some inquiry because the MGM, which owns Mandalay Bay, which is the property in question, coming under fire for putting him up in a suite after the incident, and people are saying this could taint him. So it sounds like, you know, the parent company is trying to make this man happy so that maybe he gives the best version of events.
But what was he smoking pot in the stairwell and went over to go bang on the guy's door to see if he could borrow some toilet paper or something? Like, what prompted him to go to that guy's place?
I don't understand how the guy got all of the weapons in there without them noticing.
Well, somebody brought up a good point, and it's, look, first off, people just get paid. They put everything on the cart and they just roll it up. But somebody said something like, a lot of people go to Vegas and golf. Uh-huh. Take a lot of golf equipment or something like that. You can go, well, that'd be a golf bag. But yeah, if you saw a duffel just filled with golf clubs, that would feel the same as a duffel filled with rifles.
Also, just even to give it a little bit more space, I've been on many flights to Vegas where I've seen hockey teams going in for tournaments and stuff. And
a hockey bag's
even bigger. I mean, it's a giant duffel.
No, it's big. Yeah, it's just the golf is good because it's metallic and it weighs something. We can't. You know, it's sad. I mean, we can go like, oh, somebody should have known. But somebody should have known about something that's never happened.
Well, and it's so incomprehensible. But before I get to why, let me ask you about or tell you about something that isn't. Omaha Steak.
The
holidays
best.
Fast approaching. Omaha Steak's the perfect gift. Avoid the mall lines and crowds. I've gotten almost the Omaha Steaks before, and I love them. By the way, in the place that I stay when I'm in Rhode Island, it's over an Omaha Steaks place. And I go in there and buy some of their side dishes all the time.
We gave them as a gift to the family who took her in Italia when Sonny bonked his head on the asphalt. And she said, oh, just a godsend.
Yeah, you probably gave the family gift pack.
Yes, we did. $49.99.
That's about the same amount as the helmet would have cost you for Sonny. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter doubt in the search bar to apply 75% off. God, we do so. That includes two filet mignons, two top sirloins, four boneless chicken breasts, two boneless pork chops, four burgers, four kielbasa sausages, four potatoes au gratin. This is unbelievable. I'm getting hungry as we sit here. Four caramel apple tartlets. Have you had those?
Yeah, I have.
And one seasoning packet and four additional kielbasa free. OmahaSteaks.com. Type doubt in the search bar for 75% savings.
So, do you have a theory about this whole Vegas shooter thing?
It's so
somebody's hiding something.
Somebody's hiding something. They must know. The authorities must know something that has not been revealed yet, because so far none of this holds together. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it just makes no sense, and that may be why the story vanished so quickly, because it's incomprehensible at so many levels and doesn't make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, we tend to just, you know, the collective consciousness of the American public moves on to something else.
Well, let's move on to something else. What else are you working on? What's going on out there?
I was going to have Tenney call in, because, you know, first she tried Shrekelli with Ben Brofman, which was Pharmabro. Remember Pharmabro?
Pharmabro, yeah. Pharmabro. He's the guy who was taking the medication for, what was it, or something.
Yes, my first remembrance is HIV, but I'll check.
He said, right, let's just raise it up 5,000%.
Right, but that's not what they tried him on. They tried him on something else where there
Martin
was literally.
Shkreli.
Yeah, there was literally no connection to the HIV drug thing, except during jury selection. Almost every juror said, I can't be fair. I can't be fair. In fact, one of them says, the only thing I can be non-biased about is which federal prison he ends up in. So anyway, they ended up getting him acquitted of all of the serious charges. And the judge let him walk out of the courtroom. And then he posted something on the internet about the if somebody went to one of Hillary Clinton's book signings and grabbed a piece of hair, he'd give you $5,000, I think, or something like that. And so that got him remanded into custody pending sentencing.
What is that inability to sort of, appreciate, you know, it's like you stepped off a curb, you were talking on your phone, the light was red, you were almost killed by a semi-truck, and you should be thinking, no more talking on the cell phone when I go through an intersection, and I just literally dodged a bullet. But you'll step right on off while you're texting 10 minutes later. Like, what is that?
Then, you know, I'm so proud of the young lady, because she just finished a trial the week before last. And she tried that with Mark Agnifilo and Jacob in Brofman's office, and they got a not guilty in Judge Rakoff's courtroom.
That's Tenney again.
That's Tenney again. And this one was the UBS banker, whose name I've got a mental block on. And that was a case that, you know, I think most people wouldn't have given you a chance on. You know, you got a banker, and supposedly he's doing all these nefarious things, and he was acquitted in less than a day, not guilty. So,
and that's
you go.
with Tenney.
Yeah, that's with Tenney.
Your
in
daughter
federal
defending.
Court, my daughter defending.
Wow, that's got to make you proud as a dad.
It does,
A legacy because of your dad.
Third,
I mean, I know you're
third
proud.
Generation.
I know you're proud of your dad.
And he was one of the greatest lawyers in a courtroom you'd ever want to see. I mean, I remember watching when I was waiting for bar results. I remember watching he was doing a trial. In fact, the case I'm still working on, if you can believe it, was a death penalty trial, and it was the young Armenian guy, Harry Sasunian, who was accused of shooting and killing the Turkish diplomat in Westwood. This would have been 1981 or 1982, and I watched that case unfold. And in fact, I've been working on the case ever since. And it's one of the reasons why I've got absolutely nothing good to say about Jerry Brown. In full disclosure, he has told me
the governor of California.
He's told me countless times that he would do something for this guy who's been in custody for over 30 some odd years, and then literally last December, on the fifth parole hearing that I did for Harry up at San Quentin, we got a unanimous decision that he could be released. And if he's released, by the way, it's not like he's moving back to Pasadena. There's a detainer on him for ICE, and we've already said we'll let him go back to Armenia. And so we wait, and there's a mandatory period of time where you can have the governor can intervene. And I'm thinking, well, the governor doesn't have to do a thing now because he's always told me, he promised me he would do something on this case. And now he doesn't have to do anything. I won the parole hearing in 120 days and the kid will be out. Kid, he's now in his 50s. Jerry Brown writes this idiotic reversal and reverses the parole. His own parole board, mind you. These are not soft touches. This is not, right. You know, these are not.
And he's going to Armenia.
And he's going to Armenia. And it's been 30-some-odd years. I mean, how long are we going to keep a guy in his 50s in prison? Then I file a writ and they issue an order to show cause because they say the same thing. I mean, our argument was the same as what the hell is the governor doing? I then find out we do a Freedom of Information Act and we find out that Jerry Brown, the Democratic governor of California, his office is communicating with Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, and Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General. Mind you, both of these guys are federal, and this is a state prosecution. And that apparently he succumbed to Turkish government pressure. Mind you, the Turkish government, which is run by the Erdogan, whose security detail has been indicted by Jeff Sessions for beating up protesters in Washington, D.C., yet at the same time we're being pressured by them to keep some one individual in custody in California when the Turkish government still denies 1.5 million Armenians were slaughtered in a genocide. I mean, the whole thing is mind-boggling. And by the way, Jerry, what are you doing? What's in it for you?
Well, I can't. First off, it's really. I'm sort of fond of saying, "Can it go any other way?" But I'm thinking about myself, as I tend to do. But you know, the first movie I entered into Sundance, the guy said, "I don't like that guy about me."
Yeah.
So no go. And I thought, why aren't you just supposed to review the product and then either decide whether your folks that went to Sundance would enjoy it or not? It really has to be not for I don't like this guy. And politics are that way. Hollywood's that way. Movies are that way. Parole boards are that way. Why do we have so much of that? Why can't there just be a look, whatever this is? For me, it was the movie The Hammer. That seems like a pretty well-made movie.
Right.
Let it in or don't let
or
it
don't
in.
Let it
why
in,
do we have to factor in all of this stuff?
And why do we have the window dressing of a parole board, which, by the way, Governor, you're the one who appoints these. It's almost exclusively law enforcement. I mean,
right.
When I say law enforcement, retired sheriffs, retired correctional officers, things like that. These are not soft touches. And if a guy has not been in trouble in so many years, and obviously when he did this act was an impressionable teenager, so I wouldn't use he was 19 at the time, and the clearly he's spent more than the time he should have been in there. And what's the point? I don't get it.
I'm not sure what Brown was governor in the 70s, later 70s, and I think, and then he just thought about the presidency and this and that, and he was banging Linda Ronstadt for a while, and she put on a couple pounds, so he pulled out of the race. And now he's back, but it's kind of weird. It's sort of like, it reminds me of when Jane Fonda.
Okay.
Jane Fonda. Gary, you're going to have to check this out. But she had like a 20-year absence from acting. And then she came back to do Monster in Law or something, some bad rom-commy thing with J-Lo or something. And I just remember thinking, you know, 31% on Rotten Tomatoes. I remember thinking to myself, you took 20 years away from the business, and then you came back to do this horrible script with all these bad actors. And it's sort of a bad...
She left in the early 90s. She came back in 2005 to do Monster in Law with J-Lo.
Right. So you took you left over a decade, and you came back, and Monster in Law is sitting at 28% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
To be fair, her follow-up was 2 years later when she starred in Georgia Rule alongside Felicity Huffman and Lindsay Lohan.
Right. So I'm just saying, why? And then so my thing with Jerry Brown is why? Like, yeah. why come back to be the governor to just be the same old pillowcase filled with gas that you were before? Like a sort of non-entity.
And it's, I mean, all of the thing. And it, where's the accountability? I mean, seriously, if you say I'm going to do something, don't tell me you're going to do something. Don't tell me three times and then just go 180 degrees. Tell me you're not going to do something in the first place. I'm not going to hold it against you. I get it. I mean, there's nothing forcing you to do it, but why do it? It's kind of like the tax situation. You know, he sold the state of California on the tax for the what he called the super rich. And that he said it's going to have a beginning and it's going to have an end. And sure enough, when the end came, guess what he did? He then, instead of him doing it in front of your face, he then bankrolled a proposition to be on the ballot to let people vote on whether they were going to tax the rich.
Right, or the super rich.
The super rich, yeah.
Yeah, why need to say super evil?
Yeah, exactly.
Evil geniuses should pay an extra 0.25%.
Exactly.
You know, I heard that California had more poor people in it than any other state in the union. And I keep thinking to myself, what are we doing wrong here? Why is this experiment not working out? Why has it gone from one of the most prosperous states to having more people living under the poverty line in the last 20 years? And why do we have a stay the course mentality when the course is going this direction? Now, the good news is, our friend Eric Garcetti may just skip right past the governor's office and go right to
the
Oval
presidency.
Office.
Exactly. And then maybe somebody can focus on the hellhole that has become downtown, because that's another Teflon. I don't understand. How do you get off on Wilshire Boulevard, off the 110 freeway, to get to the heart of downtown and see a shanty tent village that just pops up on the off-ramp that is akin to something that you used to see in Mexico when you get off the plane to go to the resort.
You're right, by the way, and it's not even close. The national average is a full 6 points lower than California is.
That's
the national average of what? Sorry.
Sorry. The poverty rate, the people below the poverty line, is a little over 20% in California, 20.7, I believe. And the national average during the same time period is 14.4. So we are 6%, or based, you know, 25% if you take 20 versus
That's
14. It's a lot.
You know, but before we go there, did you know what these people can still afford? SimpliSafe.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a good night's sleep is easier said than done, especially if you hear a noise downstairs. What do you do in that situation? Turn the lights on.
Send Lynette out. I give her a golf club and I push her out and I lock the door behind her.
You turn the lights on, keep watch, sleep with one eye open, or... Okay, certainly, I don't know about you in Philly, but Brady wouldn't do anything. He'd just sleep with one eye open or rest easy, knowing your family and home are safe and protected by SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is a complete security arsenal with motion sensors, glass break sensors, high-definition camera. The camera's really phenomenal. Everything you need to keep your family safe. Order it online in minutes, and in a few days, it will be on your doorstep. Just open the box, plug it in. You'll have 24/7 protection, no hard wiring, no contracts, no hidden fees. Go to simplisafe.com/AdamTHREE and get a special 10% discount. That's simplisafe.com/AdamTHREE for 10% off your order.
So, Mark Garagus, let me ask you. I've been wanting to ask you this question. That speaking of the city and what a trash heap it's turned into, and Kalen, if you want to grab my phone, you can probably go outside. Don't run away. You can go out along that back street. You'll see even more mattresses and more toilets and more construction debris and more junk laid out. But I said to Assistant Matt, I said, call 311. That's the city.
Right.
And tell them to pick up all the garbage that people are dumping. Now, what L.A. has and that other cities don't have, I don't believe. I'll be brief because I've told a lot of people that are listening about this. I don't think I've told you. There are no aluminum cans on the ground because there's a redemption value to aluminum cans, and they're worth something. So L.A. has a bunch of sort of catfish, and right. they just roam around, and they pick up every aluminum can. And by the way, they'll pull the copper wiring out of the side of your house,
right.
too, once copper goes up high enough. And they'll pull everything out, and they'll right. And don't leave an aluminum ladder laying around on the front of your property where that's all getting recycled. Okay, right. but fine. So we have created a problem, and the problem is some things have value, copper, aluminum, things like that. But if you're a poor illegal and you're in the construction trade, which is nothing but Los Angeles is nothing but poor Hispanics in the construction field, and you come into
Mark. All you got to do is go to a Home Depot sometime.
Right. You go to Mark Garriga's house, you give him a bid on remodeling the bathroom and the guest house, and they give him the bid, and you got to demo out all the tile, all the hardy backer, the drywall, whatever, stucco, whatever it is.
Right.
Now you got a pickup truck filled with stucco and drywall
right.
and 2x4s.
Boy, I know exactly where this is going.
In garbage.
Right.
Now the city says if you'd like to dispose of that properly, it'll be $80.
Right.
You have to go to Sun Valley. We'll have to wait.
Or you go to the one. Is the one still open by the 2 freeway?
Yeah, kind of by Eagle Rock or whatever.
Right, exactly.
You can go up there. And we'll weigh your truck, or we'll weigh the debris. We'll charge you by the pound, and maybe it'll cost you $100, and you can do that. Or you can simply go to a part of the city that's not very heavily patrolled, perhaps by the side of the freeway, perhaps next to Corolla's warehouses. And on a Sunday night, about 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, when it's dark and there's no residential anything, you just pull your Toyota pickup truck off by the side of the curb there and just dump it, just throw it all onto the side of the freeway.
Right.
And by the way, if you have a sofa or a mattress or box spring, don't pay. Do it that way.
Right.
And they go, okay. And if you drive around Los Angeles, you'll see piles of construction material.
Everywhere.
Everywhere,
right.
because the city is charging, and the folks that are doing it are in such a tight margin that they go, I'll put that extra $100 in my pocket because
right.
I bid that. I'm not getting that from the homeowner.
Right.
That's profit to me. I'd rather just go out on Sunday night when things are quiet and dump it off by the side of the freeway. So that's what they're doing. So I said to Matt, well, now that I own my third warehouse in this same area, this same block.
Right.
And this block has been littered with broken up toilets, mattresses, and box springs.
I just saw that this morning when I drove up.
Yeah, junk all over the place. Call 311, get a friendly representative of the city on the phone, explain to them that there's this problem over here and that they need to send a crew out and clean it up. Now, we all know that'll never happen.
Right.
And then I said, well, go on their website and put in like a formal thing that says we need large item pickup to come here. They're literally the sidewalk, and sometimes I walk the back way. You have to step around the toilet in a pile of dirt that is just dumped on the sidewalk. So tell them to come clean it up. Now, you tell me, Mark Garriga's, because I live in a world where I don't want to be an enabler. But I want to basically say, look, you can't do the thing where you go, I'm not paying taxes until you pick it up. But you tell me about this case. You give them ample time to take care of this problem, which one could argue is a danger if someone is walking down the sidewalk and hit their shin on a busted up toilet or whatever.
Right.
All right. But it's an eyesore and it's a mess. And there are things, you guys got rules about me and what I can do in front of my warehouse. And I you know,
absolutely. You can't put stuff here, there.
Right. So you got a lot of rules. All right. So what if this? What if it, after 6 months went by, you were non-responsive? I reached out multiple times. You never got it back. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a couple of my guys at the other shop. I'm going to take my dually truck. I'm going to send them over to the side. I'm going to have them take some flathead shovels to clean up the toilets, the dirt, the box springs. They'll throw it all in the back of the dually. Then they'll take it out to the dump in either Sun Valley or Eagle Rock,
right.
and they will dump it. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together a receipt. And the receipt's going to have diesel fuel for the dually. It's going to be an hourly wage for two guys. It also, I'll provide this receipt from the dump. And it's probably going to run you about $400. And it'll be dang. And then I'm going to just back that $400 out of my taxes.
Out of your property tax.
And what, right. All right. Win-win.
Yeah.
Like, is that
now,
good?
By the way, because I've been on the receiving end of this years ago. They have an ordinance in Pasadena. They may have one in the county where if you let vegetation grow and they consider it a fire hazard, they give you a notice. And if you don't clear it and they tack it onto your bill.
Right.
Right.
So there's precedent.
There is precedent.
Right.
So maybe now I've been struggling. Let's see. I'm going to pick your brain on this one. I've been struggling that there must be a way that I can sue the Board of Supervisors and the City of L.A. for mismanaging the homeless crisis. I think that there is a lawsuit there. I haven't figured out the vehicle yet, and I'm struggling back and forth. But to me, there seems to be a violation of everyone's constitutional rights under the 1983 federal statutes, the civil rights, to have these people to go and pass bond measures, for instance, that raise all kinds of money where we're paying the interest on the bonds. Yet this problem gets worse and worse and worse, and it doesn't appear to me that anybody is doing a damn thing about it.
Well, I think it's sort of the same thing you'd have with a HOA, like a homeowners association.
Right.
The homeowners association, everyone who's lived in a condo or lives by a golf resort or even just in many of these, and we're showing you pictures of the side of the freeway.
It's just like the dump looks better.
Well, it is the dump. It's just the dump gets bulldozed and this just gets neglected. We'll put the pictures up.
Right. We'd rather have 25,000 guys incarcerated in county jail as opposed to having them over here doing community service, picking up trash.
And there's more construction garbage. But, Gary, you'll show me a picture of the toilet on the sidewalk, too, which always cracks me up. One side is the freeway, and that's all just junk. And the other side is just the sidewalk, and that's dirt and a busted-up toilet. And more dirt. Like, see, you know what that is? That's a plumbing job. So the guy excavated a bunch of dirt. You know, he's putting in a new main line.
Right.
He's doing the new toilets. That's just, it's dumb. This is insane. All right. So let me give you.
But that's like a third world country.
Let me give you the pitch. Let me give you the pitch that I would do. All right. First, let me tell you about, you can clear it off, Garrett. First, let me tell you about Tommy John. Oh, man. Two words for man. You got a list. You need to remember these two words. You check it twice. It's the holiday season. You check that Tommy John box, man. Underwear crafted from ultralight, breathable fabrics that move with you, not against you. Just the best. It never rides up. It's impossible to get a wedgie. It's a game changer. Horizontal quick draw fly. You'll never go back. That's all I can say. I think about the best thing you could say about any product is you'll never go back to whatever you were doing before Tommy John.
You know, it's absolutely true. I'm wearing a pair right now. I also, Gary, did you get the shirt, the long sleeve shirt?
Oh, my God. Oh, absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
they've got a long sleeve shirt. They really do it well.
Don't sleep on the long sleeve or the long pants now, too.
No. Sleep on them.
Well, do sleep on them.
Sleep in them. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, innovation. It's the best. It's Tommy John. So during the holidays, let's get that gift he's going to use every day of the new year. Over 500,000 men have upgraded to more comfortable life with Tommy John. No adjustment needed. It's Tommy John. Gary.
Give the gift of life-changing comfort for the holidays to yourself or someone else at TommyJohn.com/Adam, where right now you'll get an exclusive gift with your purchase of $150 or more, plus 20% off your first purchase. That's a free gift plus 20% off only at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So I would make the HOA, the Homeowners Association, basic argument, which is it's a tried and true thing. It's everywhere, every condo, every place. And it's been going on for a million years in New York, L.A., wherever, everywhere, Florida, everywhere. You are asked to pay X amount per month
right.
to the Homeowners Association.
Exactly.
With that, you have the expectation of a pool that's usable. a lawn up front that's mowed,
right?
A rec center that's, you know, clean and tidy, and certain things.
Common area utilities are paid for,
sure.
Right.
And you're not asking that they come in and clean your condo,
right?
Or, you know, give your wash Brady in the bathtub.
Exactly.
It's a basic exchange of money for a standard.
Right.
And if the pool starts turning green and the lawn gets 6 feet high, well, I think any person with any common sense would go, well, of course you wouldn't have to continue paying for a service that really wasn't being provided.
I'll take you one better. That's where you're an owner. When you're a tenant and you're in an apartment, for instance, there are basic things that are expected to work. You give notice to your landlord and they don't work. The tenant has the ability to fix the item that should have been under the landlord's purview and deduct from the rent. So using that same concept, you're paying taxes on these three warehouses in this area here, and you go outside and it looks like, literally looks like Tijuana.
Right.
And why can't you give notice? Send a formal notice, and then they don't respond in 30 days, clean it up yourself, and deduct it from the property tax.
Well, when I was a renter in La Crescenta many years ago, the water heater blew out. I went and bought a new one. I went and installed it, and I backed out the price of the water heater, not the labor, just the water heater. And I sent my rent in the next month and went, here it is, minus the $287 I spent on a new water heater.
Right.
And that was, it was
and that
understood.
Was it. Right.
Well, as guys, actually, if you really think about it, if the city had a shred of dignity, they'd actually be sort of thankful for this, which
right.
is I will get to it. I will do it at cost.
Right.
I'm just going to need to be made whole. I don't need to turn a profit on this thing. What my guys get hourly, what we spent in fuel, what they spent on labor, and then what the dump charged me,
well,
and I'll just bank
that
right out.
And you want to, instead of raising taxes, why don't you just cut back on the Department of Public Works or whatever department that is responsible for this that obviously is not doing their job or doesn't give a crap?
So my argument is, my three properties that I'm paying taxes on, their value is lessened by this eyesore slash dangerous tetanus shot of a dump that is within 100 feet of my three properties.
Yeah.
And that so. If this thing, that any potential buyer, if they turn down the street on the way to the next one, and you would, it would have a very negative impression, and you're thus hurting my property values.
Absolutely.
All right, so I am all for doing this. I guarantee my accountant is not going to be for it because he's going to think we're going to get into trouble.
Exactly.
I don't think you'd get in trouble. I think you'd turn it into a cause celeb.
I wonder if we gave a 910 notice, because that's what you do whenever you sue a municipality. You've got to give them – they have a shortened statute of limitations. Here you wouldn't need it because it's still going on. I mean, how recent are those pictures?
We took the pictures 10 minutes ago,
yeah.
But I have pictures from a year ago, and it's the same mattresses, and it's the same dump, and it's the same junk.
Right.
It's forever because they don't have a we'll get to it policy. They never get to it.
Yeah. And so if we file what's called a 910 and then it goes 45 days and they haven't done anything, then we could sue for, you would have the damages. So I'm beginning to think that maybe we've got something here.
Well, I just feel like
it would be a good test case.
I would like, well, here's the thing. I have a little bit of, I have this thing I've explained to Lynette a couple of times, which is I grew up in a lot of clutter. Like
right.
A lot of stuff wasn't organized, and it was just kind of an eyesore and a cluttered mess. And I've given the speech to these guys 1,000 times and the guys at the shop, which is organize, put stuff away. I'm unable to walk past that eyesore and not have a lot of not get a rush of depressive thoughts of my childhood. And I really do not like being in the proximity of that chaotic, ugly sort of mess.
Right.
That's next to my warehouse.
Well, who would want that? Who would want to look at that every day?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody would want to look at it. The question is how impactful would it be for me versus somebody else? And I argue for me, it's a 10. It reminds me, the whole reason I got these warehouses is so I wouldn't have to relive that.
Right.
And now I'm forced to relive it. And I'm assuming now here's the deal. There's probably some red along the curb there. If you tried parking your car on a Sunday night with the bumper hanging into the red, you would definitely get a ticket.
Right.
That the city's on top
of. Oh, they would. They had no problem with that.
But just look at the.
But you know, this reminds me.
Do you have the mattresses, Kalen? Did you take the pictures of the mattresses? No, you say?
I didn't see them down that stretch right there. Are they more towards the left side? Because I didn't see any mattresses down that.
Oh, they're mattresses, man. They're all mattresses.
So there was
maybe the homeless population.
That looks like a disassembled mattress frame. Yeah. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody probably took the mattress. They're sleeping on it.
I'm just saying, where are we living? What city? And then also, as I've screened a million times, is there a mayor of Glendale or mayor of Burbank? Like, are they interested in any of this? What's going on? But I want to file and not pay taxes because my feeling is I won't not pay all of my taxes. I just want to back out what this would cost to clean up.
I think we have to, because I did this with the city of L.A., which is still pending, where I'm suing them. I think we have to pay the tax and then affirmatively sue. And so I think that's what maybe we do. We clean this up. And because I did this in Pasadena's self-help when I lived up on Glen Oaks right above Linda Vista, there was a switchback in front of the house. And the city used to let the switchback, the brush, grow to the point where it was a death trap when somebody came. You couldn't see it through it. So I just had my guys come on a Sunday. We cleared it all off. I actually put irrigation system in and just made it a nice little grassy area. And it would drive them crazy. They go crazy. They didn't understand why somebody would do this. I got complaints. Let's say the statute's run now, so I can admit it. I did it, but I'd say, I don't know. Somebody just decided to take matters into their own hands. I can't believe they did it.
I'm befuddled by this, and it's driving me nuts and it's depressing me. And it's also the difference between the government and the homeowners association is the homeowners association is beholden to somebody.
Right.
That they're not going to – people in that condo complex would stop paying taxes if the swimming pool turned into a swamp. They would just stop paying their HOA.
Right.
They would just stop paying it. And that's the deal. That's what keeps them – believe me, if every condo association – homeowners association around the country, and there's got to be hundreds of thousands of them, if they thought the deal was we don't have to keep up the lawn, the swimming pool, or the rec center, and we just get paid in perpetuity by everyone who lives in this complex, they would do that.
Right.
But that's not the deal.
Right.
And so they're kept on the straight and narrow by this tacit agreement that they have with the folks that live in their complex, which is the day the laundry room stops working is the day people stop paying their monthly whatever. The
right.
city just gets paid in perpetuity, never has to keep up the grounds, and thus we see what happens with them.
Are you in the city of Glendale right now? Is this city of Glendale?
Are, yeah.
Are you right on the border? Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
So our mailing address is Glendale, yes.
Do we know who the council person is?
He came through here and gave out an award.
We should find out.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the back. I'll go. Let me go. Hold on a second.
Find out who the council person is.
Probably an Armo.
Yeah, it's very likely. I mean, I don't know how many people they've got in the Glendale City Council now, but you got to have at least one Armo on the city council, right? You have to. It's a part of our quota.
So, Kalen, if I go over there, I'm not going to find mattresses. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Now I'm dying to go over there. All right,
I'm very nervous now,
too. You should be nervous.
Kalen is so nervous.
I've seen mattresses. But again, maybe the homeless.
No, I was going to say, I can see where the mattresses would get picked up and used.
Maybe this homeless situation is going to fix itself because all the homeless people are going to collect all the discarded mattresses that are all over the place.
Why doesn't the county, if the county doesn't want to do anything and they're worried about why not take some of the money that you raise through the bond measure and subsidize and tell people that if they pick up trash and can show that they picked up the trash and take it to the dump, they get paid, like your recycling.
Garcetti wants to deputize the homeless people to pick up the garbage.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, I'm going to put myself in a better mood and talk about Nightfall, man. History's new scripted drama series, Nightfall, premieres Wednesday, December 6th. So that's coming up at 10 p.m. Set in medieval France, tangled in politics and conflict. And there's a Templar knight. He's courageous. I guess you'd have to be to make the Templar knights. He's going to lead his order of warrior monks on a life and death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Tom Cullen, you know him from Downton Abbey, a little show that some people have heard of, probably won a million Emmys. That dude is on this show now, and it looks unbelievable. He leads the cast, taking viewers deep inside the most powerful, mysterious military order of the Middle Ages. And he needs to find out where that grail is. And whoever controls the grail holds the power. So let's check it out. Nightfall. It looks amazing. I was just watching the trailer last week with Gary. History's new scripted drama series, Nightfall. And that is Wednesday, December 6th at 10 p.m.
Is that the premiere?
Yeah, that's the premiere.
I'm going to have to watch that.
All right, now I got to go out and look for those mattresses.
Okay. All right, I was thinking of Mike Gatto, who is from the California State Assembly.
I know Mike well.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He came in here and declared an Adam Carolla Day, and he was also the guy behind the Legacy license plate program. It appears that Vartan Gar...
Oh, yeah.
The mayor of Glendale. That's what comes up when you put in city council
he
member.
He should get off his ass and clean up this dump.
What's Vartan's last name?
See, I would prefer to let the Armo over here do the work, but Gharpetian.
Carpetian. You know, I'm going to do my part for the Corolla Studios and make some calls here.
I love that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And if not, I'll sue and or I'm just not pay the taxes. And my thing is like that. If I basically cleaned up that whole street, did it on my own dime, and then backed out the $389 it cost me for my taxes, there's not a court in the land that would convict me, and I'd become a hero.
This is the Corolla legacy.
This will be the Corolla legacy.
Cement
the Corolla legacy. All right. We have the limited time on the new T-shirts. It's the Dude Maintain T-shirts. Go to crowdmade.com/Adam and
only
help cement the legacy. A few days left.
4 or 5 days, so get on
there. 4 or 5 days left, and it'll be delivered by Christmas time. Corolla
Fantastic.
Drinks doing, Lynette's doing gangbusters over there. Check that out. Say hi to her. Mark Garagus, what we got from you?
Tonight, Teddy Sugar Ray Leonard will be there doing a benefit and stop by December 2nd tonight. And also, we've got Prova Pizza Bar in Grand Central Station, soon to come to 7th Avenue. We have 10E, as I just mentioned, and Engine Company 28, Casa Tropicana in San Clemente.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.